what started 13, 14 years ago in the living room, moved to the kitchen, moved here, and now we're moving again. Did that explain it? We've outgrown this building and we're going to, and then we've got the building donated to us. You want to all understand that?
What?
A free building.
God.
I'm the chairman.
But
we'll come up with lots of fundraising ideas, and we hope that you will also. Okay, whatever ideas you have, bring them to us. I'll just give you a few ideas. We're going to have garage sales, fake sales, model drives. We're going to do a lot of things, and I see a lot of people going to make this. That means they're all going to help. We're also planning a baby shower for our nursery. And it's kind of a twofold thing, because not only can you come, but you need to bring a friend. And that familiarizes them with our church, and it also brings in gifts with money that does not come from this little group here. And we're also going to do one for the kitchen. I've talked to Peter Lane. He's really behind this kitchen one, so it'll be good. And so we have a lot of things planned. So everybody has a role to play here. A role to be involved, a role to commitment, a role of giving of yourself and your finances. We are the church, need every one of you. If we all do what we can, God will bless us abundantly, and we've experienced that from Him over and over.
Amen.
And so we just say thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you.
I think she's planning 2 weeks from now to flesh this thing out a little bit more and to come up with some are some things that you could be doing in your home, together with your neighbor, together with your fellow believer. In the meantime, what's the matter? Yeah. In the meantime, well, we're not done, Chris. Relax. In the meantime, Chris is waving and waving and pointing. You people don't see that. You don't know the instructions people up here get all the time from Chris. Anyhow, in the meantime, we started the building fund. It's already started with the change jar. And the change jar. Andy and Karen Plummer have taken it upon themselves to get this thing filled.
Amen.
And you're going to help.
Amen.
This thing is going to be here, and hopefully we'll fill this many times. Wherever we meet, whether it's Sunday morning, whether it's Wednesday evening, whether it's at the kitchen for meals, they've taken it upon themselves to truck this thing around, and they look after all the change. But it's not just change. It's, of course, God, according to, if you can believe Jesus, God can turn a penny into a dollar.
Amen.
He can turn a nickel into $5. Do the math. He can turn a dime into all kinds of things. So our small change, which may seem inconsequential at the time you pull it out of your pocket, but it grows huge by the time God gets it done. So this thing is going to be here, and I encourage you all to empty your pockets whenever you come here and fill this jar.
Amen.
We're going to solicit the help from the Christian community. We're a small congregation. We're very busy downtown, and we feel it's right that we ask other Christians to help us do this thing.
Amen.
So pretty soon, their letter will be going to all the churches. We're good to the business community, to individuals, and we believe God is supply what comes our way.
Yes. Amen.
Before you know it, the 150,000 will be sent to you.
Amen. How much will it take for you to be the same as you?
Lots.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
It's worth about $100,000.
Yeah, I know. Okay, put that in.
Okay, so I think I'm just going to leave this here.
One thing that we can all agree to is that God's always provided for our needs. And he's done that through all kinds of different ways. And like what Len and Hilliard were saying, that really the whole point of this is that it isn't about trying to twist people's arms. We've never done that, you know, because we know that there's some people who have lots and there's some people who don't have very much. But it's just all about contributing, that everyone needs to be a part of, you know, making this happen. And it might be that you're volunteering your time. Maybe you have no money at all, but you can volunteer your time. Other people might have other ways of being able to contribute to this. We see this happen together as a family of God. So that's got to be part of our prayers. And I'm going to ask Luis to come up, because you're going to share a bit of your story and what God's doing in your life and what God's saying through you, my brother.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
God is my provision. I don't know what you think right now. He provides a new building for us. He can do everything for us if we believe in him.
Amen.
He can do everything for us. And this is amazing. When you try to do everything by yourself and everything is very difficult for you, but when you believe in God and you put your faith in him, everything changed. I am not talking about prosperity. I am not talking about your life gonna be much better in material or money. I am talking about your life gonna be changed in how you think, how you deal with the people, how is your heart about love.
Amen.
Something that I understand right now, I didn't understand before, is how God works in our life. It's not like something mandatory. He is working our life in different way. Is through love.
Amen.
Through grace.
Yes.
When Jesus come here, he come to change this concept that we had before about law. Everything was mandatory. You have to. But right now, is everything is through love. That is wonderful for me. Because when you do something for love, you don't suffer. But when you do everything, when you have to, you feel that you are a slave. And we change. Who changed this was Jesus. And he is still today the same person that before. It's amazing.
Amen.
I pray today because I say, God, I am, my English is not really good. But that I want to do today is give the main idea and that the people understand who you are.
Yes, sir.
I know Jesus lives in me.
Right. Amen.
And I'm pretty sure not all of them I can say, I cannot see the heart, just God see the heart.
That's right.
But everyone want Jesus in our heart.
Amen.
Today I'm praying for that, to be close to him every day. I remember when I start my life like a Christian, was a little bit difficult before when I was walking in the world. And everything was a little bit easier before I know Jesus. Because nobody say to me what I need to do. But one day I start to read this. I don't want to listen, Pastor, how they gonna teach me, because I have one pastor, is Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And I have the Holy Spirit. Amen. He teach me every day how to read and understand this book.
That's right.
You have the same person close
Amen.
To you
Amen.
Every single day. And I don't understand Christians that say, I am Christian, and they don't have a relationship with God. Today is one day that you can change your life. Doesn't matter where you come from. Doesn't matter what happened with your life. How much you suffer in your life.
Yes, Lord.
Everything is behind you when you let Jesus work in your life.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit start to talk to your life in different way. And you open your eyes and you see, Jesus, I want to know you more.
Amen.
I don't want to be the same person. I want to give this chance because the chance is not just for me. It's for everyone. And when I started to be Christian, I remember I saw people that say, I am Christian. When it was too sad for me, when I start to read the Bible and I see the examples of these followers between quotation mark, they are Christian and they are doing the same than before. So something came to my mind and say, God, I can be the same person that before, or I can change my life because I love you. And I start to see in different way the people. When I don't have relationship with Jesus, my life is the same than before. I am sad. Exactly. And the people all the time are your enemies. But you are here. I want to tell you today, you are here because you have one goal. Every person in this place has a goal from God to do something here in the earth. Even Jesus, when he came here, his goal was the salvation. He died for us. He did it. And we are here. I don't know But in this relationship with God, you can discover, you can see why you fall. So it's time now. I want that you open the Bible in Matthew chapter 7. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that led to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which led to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. The men gather grapes from thorn bushes and fig from thistles. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, for you who practice lawlessness. Why I bring this word of God today? Because it's right way that the world put in front of you, and you can choose which one you want, the narrow. So to be Christian is not easy. Forget it. It's not easy. The people, many people tell me, it's easy way to be Christian. No. If you want to be a Jesus follower, you need to take this in, or keep this in your mind. It's not easy. When you say, if the pastor is here, he can deal with many, many, many difficult situations. And I know, if one day he say, oh, I do it, I don't want this situation. This is for him. But he faced a situation, difficult situation every day. And in this way, he is a conqueror for more followers of Jesus. And we are here, like he talked the last time, the last Sunday, talking about go out, talk to the people who is Jesus. That is our mission here. Amen. It's our vision too. And we need to go and be conquered for these people, because they are looking for someone, and not like me, because I don't talk English very well, but you can do it. No. So I encourage you today. I encourage you. That is because the Holy Spirit is with me. So I encourage you today. Go. Bring people. Talk about Jesus. Some people say, I am not very good to talk. Okay, your testimony. I am not very good to talk in English. But
what I am doing right now, I go through this difficult situation, some people can humiliate me or something like that, I don't answer. I give everything to God. But after, the glory is for Him. I say, I can see these people asking me about God after they humiliate me. And I say, glory to God, because I can be quiet. Yes. So we are learning. And for to finish, today, I want to tell you something else that say here. We need to learn to recognize the false teachers. When we are stand up here in this place, we are responsible. We are what we are talking about. Because if I don't talk the truth here in front of you, I'm going to be responsible in front of Jesus one day. But if I am talking the truth today here in front of you and you don't pay attention, someone else is going to be responsible because I already did my job. That's the reason we need to talk with the truth every time. One more stuff. Sometimes we say we are Christian. Oh, wonderful. What are you doing for be Christian? You achieve your goal? You are working for God? You are doing your job for Him? And you say, I am Christian again. And if you go outside right now, you can find in every corner people that say, I am Christian. This right now is the fashion. The people say, I am Christian. That is true. And something that scared me. The day that Jesus is not anymore like He was before, like a man. The people are thinking in Jesus like in the cross. He cannot move and nothing. Right now, He is the King of Kings.
Hallelujah.
I want to tell you something here. He's coming back like King of Kings. And He's going to be, and He is the judge. And this day, when you say, I praise you, I did miracle in your name, I was working for you, He's going to answer, I didn't know you, and this is scared me. What are you doing for God? This life is temporary. Change your life right now.
Amen.
Don't let in your life more time to be in this side.
Amen.
Change your life and go for your goal. Jesus is coming soon. And you can change your life. And when you change your life, you're going to be sure. You're going to be sure. You're going to be proud when Jesus is coming. The Bible says you're going to stand up. No anymore like when you do something wrong, you are like that. No anymore. You're going to be, Jesus is coming. I am here. I was doing the right stuff for Him. I am working for Him. I was waiting for Him.
Amen.
So it's time to change. I love you guys. God bless you.
God bless you. God bless you.
Your message. love you. And thank you for everyone in this place.
Yes.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Take that seriously, that when we stand up and we proclaim the word of God, that we need to speak truth.
Amen.
That's why, you know, every time we come, we read the Bible, because this is when we know what truth is. And I just invite you today to turn with me to Mark, the Gospel of Mark today. We're reading from Mark chapter 5. And, you know, just for some of you who maybe weren't here the last few weeks, we've been talking a lot about the resurrection of Jesus and the power that has come to us through that resurrection. That, you know, we're not left as orphans, that God has filled us with the power of His Spirit, and that with that Spirit there comes authority, and with that Spirit we're able to do all kinds of things that God's given us the ability to do. But as we focused on last week, it's because of the mission, that the power of the Holy Spirit is given for the harvest, and that we ought to remember that, that it's about bringing people to Christ. It's about getting that message out to people that there's hope, that our hope is in Jesus, and that God has given us the power of the Holy Spirit to get that message across.
Amen.
That's an exciting thing, you know. Yeah. We don't go out into the mission field empty-handed. We go out into the mission field with the Word of God. You know, it's the Word and the Spirit. It's always the Word. The true worshipers will worship in spirit and in truth. We need to know the truth, like Louis said. Boy, we need to know this Word. It needs to be committed to our hearts. But we also need to be men and women who are filled with the power and the life of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And that when we come into the world, we come with a power. We come with an authority over the dominions and over the principalities and over the powers of this world. Otherwise, we have nothing. We're weak. You know, if we don't have the Holy Spirit, when we go out into the world, we may do more harm than good. And we may bring even more demonic forces on our own lives because we're not cleaned up. We're not ready. You know, we need the power of God in us to be ready to go out into a pretty dark world. So, yeah, I guess I want to be honest, too. That, you know, we're talking about miracles. We've been talking about the signs and the wonders and how the signs and the wonders follow the Word of God as we go out into the harvest.
Amen.
But I got to be honest that there's a lot of this that I'm still understanding. I don't get it all. You know, and when I get a call like last night that there's a baby who's stillborn, you know, to Gordon and to Mary, I got to be honest with you, like, it just brings tears to my eyes, and I don't understand that exactly. And I'd be lying if I was speaking today and just pretending like I get it all, because I don't get it all. It doesn't always work out the way I understand things, the way I think they should work out. God doesn't always do things the way I think it should happen. You know what I'm saying? And I guess, I mean, I've listened to lots of people speak on these subjects, and they always speak with great authority, and they know exactly, you know, what's this, and why this happens, and why something else doesn't happen. And I'm afraid that's not me. I don't always understand. I don't always get it. I do know that God is God, and I know that I can trust Him, and I know that He's in control, and I know that He loves me.
Amen.
But I do not always understand why certain things take place. You know, here's an example. Last Sunday night, Mitch's mom, she's 93 years old. She had a miracle. She went to a faith healing meeting and her hip got healed. And we're going, praise God, praise God. But you know what? In my mind, I'm going, God, why don't you just let her? She's 93 years old. I don't mean anything bad about her. But why not just let this baby live? Like, if we're going to give out miracles, you know what I'm saying? They don't always, the economy of it doesn't always make sense to me. I just think that we just need to trust God. So today, it's a story about miracles. It's what God was leading me to a number of days before any of this happened. And what we really have here is a miracle within a miracle. Two miracles that take place. And I'm just praying today that God shows us a little bit about where His heart is. So Mark chapter 5, the story of a dead girl and a sick woman. Mark 5, verse 21. we read that when Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. And then one of the synagogue rulers, a man named Jairus, came there. And seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and he pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come, put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." And so Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors. And I think Mark means exactly what he just said. She suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors. And she spent all that she had, but instead of getting better, she grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him, and he turned around in the crowd and he asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you ask, 'Who touched her?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. And the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from suffering."
Amen.
I'm going to read that again. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some men from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler, came and they said, "Your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore?" Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid, just believe." And he did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And when they came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. And he went in and he said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. Did you hear that? They laughed at him. And after he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him, and he went in where the child was, and he took her by the hand, and he said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." And immediately, the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished, and he gave them strict orders not to let anyone know about this. And he told them to give her something to eat. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't that an amazing account? Isn't that an amazing story? And you see what I meant when I said there's kind of a story within a story? There's a healing within a healing. Jesus is confronted by Jairus, who is a synagogue ruler, and Jairus' daughter is dying. And he says, "You got to come, Lord. You got to come with me. You got to come back to my house. You need to help heal my daughter. She's 12 years old and she's dying." And so as Jesus goes on his way, and he says, "Yeah, okay, I'll come with you." And he goes on his way. It's as he's on his way that he's confronted by the woman who has that blood disorder. And she's had that illness for 12 years in her life. And he stops on his way to Jairus' house. He stops on his way to heal her first. One of the things I believe that, you know, God's been telling me or sharing with me about miracles and about the power of God and about the signs and the wonders is that God's really interested in stories. That it's not just about the healing. This was kind of, for me, this was kind of a refreshing thought, and it tells me something about the heart of God. That God's interested in the stories. When you read the Gospels, there's all kinds of accounts of people who are healed. People who are blind who can see, and the lame who walk, and people with blood disorders that suddenly, you know, after 12 years, they're completely back to health again. But it's the story that's really important in the gospel. And it's not just the miracle. The miracle's important, but I'm glad today, I'm thankful that we don't read the Bible and it says that Jesus went to Capernaum and there he performed 11 miracles. And then he went to Bethany and he performed 4 miracles. And then he went to Jerusalem where he performed 17 miracles. Like, that's not what the Bible says. Instead, what it does, I think this is, for me anyways, this was helpful. It says, here's the story. Let me tell you the story about this woman who had a blood disorder and about this guy who had a 12-year-old daughter. And let me tell you the story about her. She was back home laying in bed. And it's about the story as much as it is about the miracle, because God is interested in the stories of our lives. And every one of us, like Luis was saying, every one of us has a story. Some kind of a pit that we've been delivered from, some hard thing in our lives, whether it's a child who's stillborn or
leprosy,
whatever it is, we all have a story. And that God is interested in your story. He's interested in my story. And that he always seems to heal, and he brings that power and the authority of the Holy Spirit in that context of the stories that are our lives. Because that's the kind of God he is. He loves us, really. Doesn't that describe the love of God? That he's interested in Dawn's story or Mary Lisa's story or my story. And he's been a part of my story from before I was even born. Just as he's been a part of your story.
Amen.
But that he's interested in those sorts of things. And I'm glad that he doesn't just list for us, you know, Jesus in his ministry in his 3 years on earth performed 47 miracles. Isn't he a great miracle worker? That's not the point. You know? Even though I think sometimes we talk about it that way. But the point is that he is involved. He's integral to your life. Because he wants to know you and he wants to know your story. And he sees that you are delivered and you're saved from the darkness and brought into his light. There are three questions I want to ask you today. The first is going to have to do with desperation. Because the one thing I see in this story, the first thing I see in the story of these two miracles is two people who are just desperate for Jesus. And so the first question is, are you desperate for Jesus? Now, are we really desperate for Jesus? I think we see that in both the woman who has this blood disorder and in Jairus, that they have a certain desperation. They need Jesus. They need him right now. Jairus goes to Jesus, and if you read it carefully, you're told that he gets on his knees, and he gets before Jairus. He grabs him by the hand, and he says, come with me. Come with me. You need to heal my daughter. There's a desperation here. And I think we see that in the woman as well, right? 12 years. 12 years she had this blood disorder. You know what that means, especially in that culture? Because she had that blood disorder, she was unclean. She could not be touched. Listen to me. She could not be touched by anyone. Because if you were to touch her because of the blood disease that she had, you would be ceremonially unclean. So think about that. She hadn't been touched for 12 years. And they come to Jesus with such desperation. He's on his knees. And she comes to Jesus and she goes, I'm ready. You want desperate people? They sometimes do desperate things. And I love that we get into her head and we're told, you know, what she's thinking. And she goes, you know, maybe if I just rub up against him. I'm ready to do anything, she says. I don't know what I got to do. I've done this 12 years. I've lived with this. Maybe if I just rub up against him, maybe that power will come upon me and I'll be healed. You see that desperation? Isn't that something? That people come to Jesus, both of them come to Jesus with that kind of a intensity, that kind of a passion, I'd say. And I wonder about me, I wonder about us. You know, do we have that kind of desire? Do we have that kind of desperation? That I need Jesus, I need Jesus, I need Jesus, and I'm not going to leave until I get him. I need his touch today.
Amen.
I'm saying that personally, I'm saying it honestly today. I need your touch today, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
I need to know that you're there. I know you're there up here, but I need to know you're there right here.
Amen.
I need to feel your arms around me, Jesus. Are we desperate, or aren't we more like the person who could kind of take it or leave it? I think that describes Christians more. Maybe I'm being negative. I'm not trying to be. But I think it describes Christians more today than that desperate person. You know, God is who God is, and I'll go to church once in a while, or I'll go to church at Easter, but I'm not really hungry for God. Maybe that's a better way to put it. You know, are we really hungry for God? Do we desire him? Are we reading the word like we were instructed today from Pastor Luis? You know, are we really intent on having this relationship with God? Or is it, I can take it or leave it. I mean, let's be honest. I think sometimes We fall out of that trap. I can take it or leave it. Am I really going to spend the time I need to with my God today? Or am I going to find the remote and see what's there? So here's the first question. Are you really seeking God? Are you desperate? Are you desperate to have that relationship with Him? Are you going to stand before Him and say, no matter what, I am not leaving here today unless you have touched me, unless you've changed me, unless you've given me what you want for me, Jesus.
Amen.
I think that we need more of that desperation.
That's right.
In our lives. And you know, honestly, I'll speak for myself, but being someone who's grown up in the church, someone who's been a Christian for a good 80-90% of my life, sometimes we get insulated from that passion and from that hunger again. And I'm praying today, praying for me, I'm praying for all of us, that hunger will stir up in our inside of us again.
Yes, Lord.
For we're desperate for Him. We're desperate for the power of His Spirit. We're desperate for life in such a dead world.
Amen.
Just desperate for Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Second question is, are you patient? Are you patient? No, at least you're honest. Are you patient? Because you know, one of the things that I think God's Word's really saying in this passage of Scripture is we've got two examples before us of people who, even though they're desperate, they're not panicking. And there's a difference, right? You know, they're not panicking. They're not running around. You know, I think I'd be running around a lot more than they were. There really is a sense of calm here and a sense of trusting God and trusting Jesus. And I think that the question today is, what about you? What about me? You know, do we have that patience, which is what faith really breeds in us when we're really living in faith? We start to have the right kind of patience where we trust God. You know, the woman, 12 years, she waited for this healing. For 12 years, she waited for this to be rectified in her life. What amazing patience she had. Still seeking God, not giving up on Him, not throwing it all out and saying, oh, forget it then if you're not going to heal me. No. Waiting and waiting. Intently. Hungrily. For Jesus. And I think, you know what? Her example's great. But I think His example, for me, it's even greater. So I can't even imagine what it would be like to have a dying daughter back home. I can't even imagine what it would be like to try to get Jesus to get there. And you know what happens in this story, right? He tries to get Jesus to come with him to his house, and he gets distracted in the middle of it. Now, I know one thing. I would not have been good at that. I am really lousy when someone buds in lying when I'm at Superstore. And in a real way, that's exactly what happens here. She butted in line. Are you kidding me? This is my miracle. I have a daughter who's dying. Who are you to butt in line, right? This is my miracle. I am bringing Jesus with me. And I know that he must have been just trying to move Jesus along. Come on, Jesus. Even though he wasn't panicking, but he was, let's go, Lord. We got to get to my daughter. And then all of it, can you imagine this? I think that, you know, honestly, it's told to us in this way so that we kind of giggle a little bit. Because God's got a great sense of humor. But can you imagine that as he's doing that, all of a sudden Jesus stops and he goes, someone touched me. Are you kidding me? Seriously? You know, my daughter is dying and you're thinking about someone who brushed up against you, Jesus. Trusting God and having patience. And not just patience where we sit back and do nothing, but patience where we work with God, where we trust God, where we actively put our faith into action, and we seek God with all our heart, and we go where He wants us to go. The right kind of patience, I think, leads to faith. The right kind of patience, where we trust in God, where we know that He is not going to forsake us, the right kind of patience leads to the right kind of faith, where we just walk with Jesus, and we acknowledge that His timing is not always my timing.
That's right.
I'm having a hard time to learn that one. But God's ways, they're not always my ways. And what I think is best isn't always what God does. Sometimes, and here's a hard teaching, sometimes God delays something, even in our lives, because he knows what's best. Maybe he's doing that in some of our lives here today, where we want something right now. We say, we think we've got a really good case to make. You know, I've done this for 12 years, God. Or I got a 12-year-old daughter. You'll notice that they've both been around for 12 years, both of those things, right? We think, God, you've got to do it right now. And God goes, no. It would be best if you just wait. It would be best if you just wait, he says. It would be best if you just trust me now. Because you don't see what I see. You don't get it. Know this today, that God is never late. And that's it. He's never late. You can take that home with you today. He wasn't late. Even when the little girl died, he wasn't late. And God isn't late in your life either. He's not late. We don't always get things the way we want them and when we want them. But we can trust God that he knows. And we can trust God that sometimes, even though he delays, he's never late. So here's the question. Are you patient? Are you trusting God with that kind of patience where you just know that he's going to come through, even though it might not happen today? Do you have that kind of patience that really is a statement of faith where you stand firm and you say, God, no matter what, right now I am trusting you, and it doesn't matter what it looks like. I don't care how I feel even. It doesn't matter how I feel.
That's right.
What matters, God's behind you. What matters is that you're in control, God, and even though it's a jungle out there, you're the king of the jungle.
That's right.
And the last question, I think it's really the question that this passage asks even more than any of the other ones is, so, here's the question. So, are you prepared? Are you ready for Jesus to touch you? Are you willing for the Savior to just to reach his hand out and to touch you?
Amen.
Because this whole story is about touching. It's all about Jesus putting his hand on people as he went from one village to the next, touching them, right? Are we even open to that? Are we even ready for him to touch us and to just hold our heart in his? The woman, it was all about touching, right? She came to Jesus and she just brushed up against him. And what does Jesus say? He says it two or three times, actually. He said, Who touched me? Someone just touched me, he goes. It's all about the touching. And if you want to catch what Jairus did, it's both in the beginning of the story and at the end of the story. Jairus, when he gets on his knees and he begs Jesus to come to his daughter, he says, come and take her. He take her by the hand, Jesus, and heal her. I'm desperate for you to take her by the hand. And when Jesus goes to see his daughter, you know what he does? He grabs her by the hand. Okay? And he raises her from the dead.
Amen.
But he touches her. He touches her. So here's the question. Are you desperate for Jesus? Really? I mean, are you really desperate for Jesus? Or are you just letting it come or go? Are you patient? With that patient, firm, trusting faith that acknowledges that Jesus is my Lord. And maybe most importantly, are you really willing that Jesus touches you? Are you going to let him touch you? Because in a lot of ways, that's really the question. You know, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone will open the door, I'll come in. But it doesn't say, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and I'm going to boot it in. I'm going to kick the door in. That's never what he says. He says, no, I want you to open the door. And I want you to invite my touch. I'm here to touch you. I'm here to change you. I'm here to forgive you. I'm here to include you. I'm here to love you so much. We live in a world where we don't let people touch us. We're taught not to. There's the creepy guys over there. Don't let anyone touch you. Don't let anyone get too close. That's the world we live in. I want to tell you today that the world that Jesus Christ is the Lord of is a world, is an environment where he says, just take down that barrier now. Take down the wall. Be vulnerable. You can trust me. And when he touches you, it's the greatest thing that can ever happen. That we open our hearts and we open our lives to Jesus Christ. You and I, we have the ability to say no. We have the ability to just say no. Don't touch me. You touch those other crazy people, but don't touch me, Jesus. We also have the ability to open our arms to him and to see that his arms are wide open and to welcome him into his embrace. Amen? All right. I'm going to do something a little bit crazy. This is a... That would be crazier than what I'm planning on. This week, you know, you can probably tell that there's been some struggle going on, and I have a hard time with some of the questions that I'm left with a lot. Having said that, I just reiterate what I've said already, that no matter what, no matter how discouraged I can get sometimes, or I don't always understand, I still put my trust in God.
Amen.
And he's always, always been faithful. And I gotta admit another thing, that you know, sometimes I'm so eager to see what God's gonna do next. I'm so ready for the next sign and the next wonder. And I'm embarrassed to say it, that I forget about what he just did. I forgot about it. I don't remember little Olivia, you know, and the life that she has been spared. I'm always ready to move on to the next thing, and I'm sure that that's not really living a grateful life. That I so easily forget what God's done. I always want the next bigger and better thing to happen. So anyways, here's a song that I believe God, I didn't write this or anything, but it's a song that I heard this week, and it just, you know what? It touched me. So we want to leave today. My prayer today from the very beginning has been that you experience the touch of God. So I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes. We're not going to put the words on the overhead. Later on, maybe we'll do it again, and you can join me and sing it again. It's very slow. It's worshipful. For me, it is. And it's a reminder for me that God... Close your eyes. Just ask God to touch you.
Be still and know that I'm with you. Be still and know that I am here. Be still and know that I'm with you. Be still and know. When darkness comes upon you and covers you with fear and shame, sleep no longer comes, remember all the words I said. Be still, and know.
Be still and know that I Santa girl. How are you?
Gotta go through it.
Mrs. How's she?
Oh, she's good. She said it.
You're still living out in Silver Lake?
Yeah.
Yeah.
God bless you.
Oh, he does. Constantly.
Charlene Lennon, here we will come.
Yes. And so will Dan.
Dan, okay, show me Dan again. Here we see it. Okay, maybe we should get that cucumber.
I wouldn't worry about it.
Got tomato, meat, and cheese.
Yeah.
And lettuce. Charlene said how soon.
That's a an old saying.
Mary and James.
Was that that older lady sitting here?
Yeah, she used to work at that that clothing store up here, Tracy's.
Oh, okay. Man, but I've never heard of Pokemon.
Thanks.
Okay, I don't know if it's off or
whatever. Almost. But I got a passcode on it anyway, but no, it's still recording, so.